We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Buttons!
I just said don't forget to turn your mic on, and then buttons you forgot
everywhere.
To turn your mic on.
I had headphones on, is going to be the excuse that I use. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. ESPN Upstate is on the radio. Before we do anything else, I know that you care more about you than you care about me, and I accept that fact. That's a reality. So here is free money, kind of.
Here's your chance at free money, kind of. It's the $1,000 free cash stash on ESPN Upstate. The keyword for the noon hour is play. Play. Text that keyword to 72881. That's 72881. Good luck. The $1,000 free cash stash on ESPN Upstate.
Speaking of play, let's do that, shall we? For, I don't know, let's call it 2 hours and 58 minutes or so, starting right now. I am Rob Brown. Welcome to ESPN Upstate. The pleasure exclusively mine. Diesel's here. He's on the other side pushing the buttons. What's up, big dog?
Feeling good.
Yeah?
Well, not really. We have a cat, and he's a jerk, and he woke me up last night every hour on the hour wanting to play. Again, play is your key word for the noon hour. Wanting to play, and I wanted to murder him when I woke
Look
up.
Look at you with the combo segue slash throwback there.
Yes.
A professional at heart, folks. I need to ask you a very sincere question.
They don't
question.
Pay me the moderate bucks for nothing.
Facts. Hashtag facts. Let me ask you a sincere question. And I'm not saying that I'm going to judge you based on your answer. I am saying if you answer incorrectly, I take back hanging out with you after the show yesterday. Cat guy,
fair.
Dog guy.
I'm more of a dog guy.
You're a dog guy.
Yeah, I'm a dog guy.
So it's
but
her
we
cat?
Have a cat. It's her cat.
It's her cat.
Yeah, I didn't want it. She wanted it. We got a cat.
Do you have a dog?
One day. I'm in an apartment.
So you're a cat guy.
Temporarily, but I'm in an apartment and I want a big dog. I want a Doberman. And I can't do that. I know a lot of people say, oh, they're great in apartments. Those things are horses. And I do not want to have a Doberman in an apartment. It just seems wrong, you know?
I am Rob Brown. He is notorious cat guy Diesel pushing the button. You know what I love? Yesterday, Diesel and I are hanging out after the show. He agrees to meet me in downtown Greenville to grab a couple of bites to eat. Head up to a bourbon and wine bar and sit out on a balcony and overlook Main Street and just kind of talk and BS about the area. And as we get talking, he's telling me about his YouTube channel where he reviews metal music primarily.
Yeah.
And on it, if you looked at it, this dude is like rocking the Anthrax shirt with the big metal beard, talking about Tool and Pantera and whoever else. And I'm sitting there hanging out. Diesel, I'm gonna snitch on you.
Uh-huh.
You're a sweetheart.
I am.
You are. You're
a nice guy.
You're a lover, not a fighter.
I choose to go through life with sunshine in my eyes, not with a sword in one hand and a torch in the other. Ronnie James Dio.
Respect. Respect. So I'm just saying, when you call up and you get Diesel going, who the hell are you and what the hell do you want to talk? That's not how he answers the phone, but it's how I saw it when I first met him. Turns out when we show up and I'm here working this job full time and we start going on remotes and whatnot, and I make Diesel come out of the studio, you can approach him in public. He is a kind, generous, polite, chivalrous soul.
Well, the truth is, if you're going to be on social media as a content creator, it doesn't really work out very well if you're a jerk. you have to be nice to people. Well, you've seen Roadhouse. I know. I know you've probably seen Roadhouse 24 times because it's such a great film.
Like this year.
Yeah. And what does he say when he's teaching the bouncers how to bounce?
Be
he
nice. Goes,
be nice.
Be nice.
What if they call you a blankety blank?
Be nice.
Be nice.
Be nice.
It's not that hard, and so many people get sucked into it, and they want to be negative about it. And I'm like, I'm not going to let that happen. I'm not going to let some jerk in a basement in Idaho make me feel bad for the day. It's not going to happen.
Be nice until it's time to not be nice anymore.
How will we know when it's not time to be nice?
You'll know.
I will tell you.
All right. Phone lines, text, emails, they're all there. Phone lines 844-477-3776. That's 844-GSP-ESPN. Text us 71307. Start your text by just typing out ESPN. That way it comes straight through our filter, right to the eyeball holes of Diesel, who will then read them on the air. Of course, you can get it on Twitter at ESPN Upstate. So yesterday evening, I get done downtown hanging out in beautiful Greenville, South Carolina, and I head back to the Chateau de Temporary, which is, well, you don't know. It doesn't matter where it is. You don't care where I sleep. It's in a place over that way. So I'm just outside of downtown Greenville, and I hop on the old Twitter machine, and I see a buddy of mine on Twitter by the name of Blake Ells, who I have been following on Twitter for years, and I'm giving him a shout out because he brought up something that I had kind of kicked around yesterday doing a topic and then decided not to last minute, and I wish I would have. But I'm going to do it now because I have one show left to go here. We were talking about Kobe and the fact that Kobe spent 20 years as a Los Angeles Laker, and he asked the question, who are the greatest athletes that spent their entire career with one team, and did any of them at all, anywhere, did any of them have the legacy of a Kobe Bryant on or off the floor? I came up with one name.
I think I know who that name is.
Who is it?
Macho Man Randy Savage.
That is not it, although, oh yeah, I don't hate it. I love Macho Man.
Let me guess.
Macho Man.
Is it Twamy?
It's not Touchdown Twamy.
It's not Twamy. No, he spent his entire career with one team, and he's got the on the field legacy.
He might. I can't do a Boston accent. I just end up going wicked piss eye after everything, and that's it. That and Twamy and Fenway Pack is all I know. It's the only Boston accent I got. No, I think that Tommy has the on the field regimen. But he's not off the field what Kobe Bryant is, right?
Oh, like, you need him to have both.
Yeah, I'm asking if anybody has both.
Oh, okay.
So here are, very quickly, very quick rundown, here are the best athletes I could come up with that also had some off-the-field personality. I don't know if any of them stack up to Kobe, and I'll ask you that question. Jim Brown with the Cleveland Browns, number 32, retired, one-time Super Bowl champ, 9-time Pro Bowler, 8-time first-team All-Pro. 57 Rookie of the Year, 8-time NFL rushing yards leader, 5-time touchdown leader. Barry Sanders spent 10 years with the Lions, 10-time Pro Bowler, 6-time All-Pro first team, 4-time second team, 97 NFL MVP, 4-time rushing leader, and the 89 Rookie of the Year, number 20 is retired. John Stockton, 19 seasons with the Jazz. And by the way, until the day the NBA makes the Utah Jazz give that name back to New Orleans, we live in an unjust society. Have you been to Utah, Diesel?
Never. Flown over, never been there.
Let me tell you a secret about Utah. There's no Jazz in Utah. It's a beautiful state. The people are lovely.
Well, so does that mean that the Lakers should give their name back?
Yes.
Minnesota?
Yes, yes. You know, the land of a thousand lakes would be more suited to have a basketball team called, you know, the Lakers. Yes, that should absolutely be a thing. Tradition be damned.
How about the Los Angeles Sea Kelp?
You call them whatever you want. The hippies, the L.A. vegans. Call them the L.A. Botox. I don't care what you call them. But the Lakers should have to give that name back to Minnesota. And the New Orleans Jazz should exist again. They used to exist, the Pistol Pete days. All right, anyway.
You're right.
I know I'm right. I do that a lot. 6 to 8 times a day. John Stockton, 19 seasons with the Jazz. He made the playoffs every single year. 10-time All-Star, All-Star Game MVP in 93, 2-time All-NBA first team, 6-time second team, 3-time third team, 5-time All-NBA defensive second team, 9-time NBA assist leader, 2-times NBA steals leader. In terms of basketball, going to the playoffs 19 out of 19 years is pretty ridiculous. Tim Duncan, 19 years with the Spurs, 5-time champ, 3-time finals MVP, 2-time NBA overall MVP, 15-time All-Star, 1-time All-Star Game MVP, 10-time All-NBA first team, 3-time second team, 3-time third team, 8-time NBA defensive first team, 7-time All-NBA defensive second team, 98 rookie of the year, 98 all-rookie first team, 2015 NBA team out of the year. Tim Duncan did some stuff, y'all. And his number 21 was retired. He's probably the closest I got in terms of on the floor in the NBA. Jim Kelly, 11 years with the Bills, 5-time Pro Bowler, 91 first-team All-Pro, 2-time second-team All-Pro, 91 passing TD leader, 90 passing leader. Number 12 retired. The Admiral, David Robinson, 14 seasons with the Spurs, 2-time champ, NBA MVP in 95, 10-time All-Star, 4-time All-NBA first-team, 2-time second-team, 4-time third-team, NBA Defensive Player of the Year, 4-time All-Defensive first-team, 4-time second-team, and a host of other accolades as well. Larry Fitzgerald, going into his 16th year with the Cardinals, 11-time Pro Bowler, first-team All-Pro in 2008, 2-time second team, 2-time receptions leader, 2-time touchdowns leader, Walter Payton Man of the Year, and I think it's pretty simple to say the Cardinals will definitely retire his number when he's done. Larry Wayne Chipper Jones, 19 years with the Bravos, 8-time All-Star, 95 World Series champion, 99 NL MVP, 2-time Silver Slugger, MLB batting champion in 08. And here's trivia for you. You can impress your friends with this one later. Chipper Jones had the final hit in Atlanta Fulton County Stadium and had the first recorded hit in Olympic Stadium.
Whoa.
Did you know that? I bet you
didn't know that.
I'm here to make your life better, Diesel. That's why I'm here. So far, so good. Troy Aikman, 12 seasons with the Cowboys, 3-time Super Bowl champ, Super Bowl MVP, 6-time Pro Bowl, Walter Payton, NFL Man of the Year Award, Dallas Cowboys Ring of Honor. Ted Williams, 19 seasons with the Bo Sox, made the All-Star game every one of them. A little easier back then, but hey, truth is truth. 2-time AL MVP, 2-time Triple Crown winner, 6-time AL batting champ, 4-time AL home run leader, 4-time AL RBI leader, a .482 career on-base percentage. Number 9 is retired by the Bo Sox. Larry Burt, the Hick from French Lick, 13 years with the Celtics, 3-time NBA champ, 2-time NBA Finals MVP, 3-time MVP, 12-time All-Star, All-Star Game MVP in 82, 9-time All-NBA First Team, All-NBA Second Team once, 3-time All-NBA Defensive Second Team, 1980 Rookie of the Year, 1980 All-Rookie Team, 3-time 3-point Shootout Champion, 2-time 50-40-90 Club, AP Athlete of the Year in 86, and 33 is retired. And finally, in basketball, Magic Johnson, 5-time NBA champ, 3-time NBA Finals MVP, 3-time NBA MVP, 12-time All-Star, 2-time NBA All-Star Game MVP, 9-time All-NBA First Team, All-NBA Second Team in 82, NBA All-Rookie First Team, 4-time NBA Assist Leader, 2-time Steals Leader, and 32 is retired by the Lakers. But I've left off one name from this group of a guy who played his entire career in one place and I think deserves to have the on and off the court accolades of Kobe Bryant. He spent 18 years with one baseball team. He was a 15-time All-Star, a 2-time World Series champ, a National League MVP in 66, the 1971 World Series MVP, the 12-time Golden Glove winner, a 4-time NL batting champion, and his team retired his number 21. Any guesses out there as to who I'm talking about? Justin texted in and said Derek Jeter. I think he's on the list, but no, I don't think he's in this group. But that's a great name. I agree with you. Jeter's on this list. The gentleman I'm thinking of was killed in a plane crash while distributing earthquake release supplies in the Caribbean. Roberto Clemente is my pick. I think that is a cat that deserves to have his name etched into the wall alongside Kobe Bryant. On list of guys who spent their entire team with one, or entire career with one team. Guy was loyal. Guy loved where he was playing. Did it at a time where people like Roberto Clemente weren't exactly openly accepted in professional sports all the time and made it that way. In fact, not only did he, but Roberto Clemente opened the door for Hispanics, for minorities in Major League Baseball to become not just accepted, but celebrated. I think he's on that list. Your thoughts, if you got any, 844-GSP-ESPN, text us 71307, keyword ESPN on the front of that text so we see it. When we come back, there are few sports that present the tradition and the pageantry that college football does, and there are few conferences that seem to be able to do it as well as the SEC. And now, it looks like one of the most famous traditions of the SEC might be going away for good. I'll tell you what the SEC stands to lose, but what it stands to gain in that loss when we come back. He's Diesel. My name is Rob Brown. You're listening to ESPN Upstate. Be right back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Happy New Year to everybody, specifically those who are in charge of the bank accounts of the Southeastern Conference and the rating numbers of ABC and Disney. I am Rob Brown. This is ESPN Upstate. Thank you so much for listening. The SEC, ABC, struck a deal just before Christmas that is going to change the college football television landscape. Why am I just bringing this up, you say, ladies and gentlemen? It is because I have not been here before, and this is the first chance I've gotten to. That's the reason. That's the only reason. And because I realized when I was doing an audition demo tape to send up here to the big dogs down the hallway in charge of the decision making, I was doing this topic on a demo tape and I realized something. At 2:30 Central Standard Time, which is where the time zone I've been in for the last all of my football seasons ever. That's not true. I was in Tallahassee for a few years going to college. Outside of that, I've been Central Standard Time. At 3:30 Eastern, you would fire up the television, even if you were not a fan of the SEC schools playing on the CBS 3:30 afternoon game, and you would hear that CBS, SEC on CBS theme song start playing. And for years, then it was Uncle Vern with that chortle that he used to do. And Gary Danielson.
Are you talking about?
That's the one. That's the one. I wasn't going to do the karaoke version of it because I want people to like me. And singing into the radio tends to prevent that from happening. But yes, that's the one. When you hear that song play, you know what's about to happen, right?
Football!
Not just football, But you're about to get the best game from the best conference in college football. And I know I'm in ACC territory, so don't throw sharp things at me just yet. Overall, the Southeastern Conference is still the best conference in football. I don't think we can argue that. Would they win 8 of 10 national championships in the 2010s? And when that 2:30 music hit, you knew you were about to get the best game of the best conference. So, you end up having ABC forking over upwards of $350 million, which is a ridiculous amount more than the $55 million a year that the SEC is currently receiving from CBS for the same package. And it's not to say that CBS wasn't ready to put mucho dinero down on the table to maintain the ability to televise, arguably, what is one of the top three games of any given week in the college football season, because it is reported that CBS was looking at putting upwards of 300 million ducats on the table to keep them at home on CBS. But they weren't willing to do the one thing that the SEC really wanted to do, and that was to bulk up the next four remaining years on that contract to get them there. It is reported that CBS wanted to keep that 55 mil a year up until the season ended four seasons from now, and CBS said, no, we're going to leave it as is. The SEC said, nope, more money because we added A&M and Mizzou. We're a 14-team conference now. We've been in the hunt constantly. And they said, no. According to Clay Travis of Outkick the Coverage, who was one of the first to report the deal, the SEC wanted to expand and at the time wanted to go up to around 65 to 70 mil a year for the next 4 years before bumping it up. And again, CBS said, no, we're good. So what does this mean at this point? ABC pushed the deal. They knew that Fox was already scheduled at the time of the deal to meet with the SEC and try to push to compete. Fox has also been on a run to try to compete with ABC in terms of coverage lately, and it has been a failing effort. And I can break that down hopefully next time I'm up this way sitting in with you. But ABC decided to push all in up front and offer enough that it made it worth it for the SEC to not even walk away from the negotiating table without signing a deal. They wanted to prevent a bidding war, and to be honest with you, with Disney behind them, I think even if it got into a bidding war, ABC, ESPN still would have been fine. But it would have been with a higher price tag. CBS just handed over the most profitable deal in college football to ABC, and the SEC benefits from it. Each school, South Carolina included, has been receiving four-ish million dollars a year from CBS's deal with the SEC. You know what they're going to get now? $25 million a year. Hey, guess what that number is? Hey, Diesel, that's high enough to buy out Will Muschamp.
Wait. South Carolina, you get $40 million a year from the SEC a year?
A year.
But you can't come up with half of that?
I like how attached you are to that. I agree with you. You're
right. $40 million a year. What are you spending all that cash on? You're not putting any of it in the bank? That's not smart. For these very situations?
If anybody would like to hire Diesel as their CFO, he's available, I believe.
It's not even that hard.
Look at him on YouTube, Diesel on Radio.
Getting slayed by Tool fans.
So ABC will take over the SEC coverage of 2024 and beyond. And what I'm really interested to see, and this is where the conversation gets fun to me, what I'm really interested to see is what the SEC looks like when ABC takes over. They're going to keep that 330 game locked in place because there's no reason to move it. But what I'm curious to see is if we see maybe a second prominent matchup added every week. What if the 330 game becomes a lead-in for a night game? What if they decide to go all SEC across ABC, add an 11:30 game or a 12:30 game here. A 12:30 that leads into the 3:30 that leads into the nightcap. There's also a ton more possibilities. What if the SEC decides to shift a few games to Thursday nights? What if ESPN loses Monday Night Football at some point during this contract, which is a real possibility down the road? What if CBS makes a big play and takes Monday Night Football away from ESPN? Could we eventually see ABC host a Monday Night SEC Game of the Week? Is that a possibility? If the SEC has every single contest available with one broadcasting partner, they can put an enormous number of big-time contests in front of a nationwide audience, which means if you're the ACC, if you're the Big 10, the Big 12, the Pac-10, 12, 14, whatever they are now, and you're already trying to play catch-up with the SEC in terms of talent, in terms of what those football teams are doing in that conference. If you are already trying to play catch-up, and now ABC, which I'm speculating here, I believe is likely the most widely watched network in the grand old United States of America, is now going to plaster SEC from morning till night every single Saturday and maybe on Thursdays, and hell, maybe down the road on Mondays. You are stealing audiences from everywhere else. There's no need for an SEC network at this point, outside of wanting to watch the smaller sports, but for football, there's no need for it. You're going to get this everywhere. Now, what's going to be interesting is the pushback, because everyone who is not ABC now has no reason to push the SEC. If you are Fox, if you are CBS, if you are NBC, you have no reason to make the SEC a focal point on their network at all. In fact, with the exception of the times that an SEC team has to be mentioned to require the story of college football overall, you're not going to see them. There's no need. That might be the one thing that's detrimental to the SEC. If a team like, say, Arkansas isn't getting the TV time in a place like Texas they used to get when the whole league was featured prominently, how are they going to go into Texas with any sort of power behind that name? If South Carolina is going 4-8 and not getting mentioned on Fox, NBC, CBS, or any of the other big dogs, and they're not getting mentioned in SEC discussion because they're in sixth place in the East, how are you going to walk up into Virginia and steal recruits away from the Cavs and the Hokes? How are you going to walk across the state and steal guys away from Clemson in the ACC? That's my one big fear for the SEC. That being said, that's a heck of a lot of money. Heck of a lot of money.
Yeah, there's something to be said for the money that's made from exclusivity. You know, I'm a big fan of podcasts and podcasting, and generally the idea when you're up and coming, you want to be seen on heard on as many different platforms as possible. And that's what college football broadcasting has been up until this point. You want to be on as many different platforms as possible. Well, then you get into the point where you're a big deal and you can command buku bucks on an exclusive platform. Now, the problem is, how is this going to affect people who don't watch on a traditional cable network?
Streaming is the big discussion, right?
That's sure.
But here's the thing. ABC is an antenna. It's a cable. It's an antenna channel. I mean, you can sure. pretty much get it anywhere.
But they are right? also tied in with ESPN.
Yeah, but I think the attractiveness here is that these games go on ABC now, right? You're gonna dump the ACC games that are on ABC all the time, and now you can put all these games, because you're the sole provider. You can put the three biggest SEC games of the Saturday across ABC. Stick the rest onto the streaming service. That being said, I don't know that streaming is gonna be a huge draw for football. So I don't know that this impacts.
I stream football. I couldn't tell you the last time I watched football on a linear network.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Millennials. Huh? All right, we got to run to a break. I just realized how late we are. All right, when we when we come back here in just a minute, the Super Bowl has two contrasting coaches, 40-year-old Kyle Shanahan and 61-year-old Andy Reid. And while it appears that San Francisco and Kansas City have recently rescued themselves with a young man who's found a fire and an old dog who's learned some new tricks, the reality is that the NFL overall has really hit a snag in figuring out how to hire coaches. There are some disturbing trends in the hiring and firing of coaches, and I'm very concerned the Panthers have fallen into that trap. We'll examine that, see if they can dig their way out when we come back on ESPN Upstate. I'm Rob Brown. Stick around.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Can I just say it's super weird to live in a point in time where North Carolina's bad at basketball? Like, I know there's no sympathy for the Heels in this part of the country, and I respect that. I grew up an FSU guy watching Carolina just absolutely trounce my Noles constantly. But it's interesting to live in a place where Carolina basketball isn't the standard anymore.
It's fun, isn't it?
It does make it more interesting. But scratch that. Not just that Carolina basketball isn't the standard, but that right now, said trouncing receivers, the Seminoles of Florida State, find themselves as the best team in the ACC.
Ooh.
I don't hate it. All right. The NFL has had not one, not two, not three, four one-and-done coaching hires in the past five seasons. A couple of GMs have become victims because of those coaching hires. And that is just the most recent part of a trend that's been going on for some time now. What is happening with hiring and firing coaches in the National Football League? There's a group of teams that are having some issues right now. You got the Cardinals, who they brought in. Or you got the Browns, first and foremost, with Freddie Kitchens, who just walked. Freddie Kitchens joining the Giants as a tight end coach, as it was announced yesterday. So Freddie Kitchens walks, and Browns GM John Dorsey lost his job over it. The Cardinals hired Steve Wilk. He made it 1 year. Now they've got Cliff Kingsbury in there. And in fairness, things are trending up. But I don't think there's anybody that's quite ready to say that Cliff Kingsbury is like the big deal, right? Then there's teams in the league that don't seem to know how to handle the position once they have a guy in there. Marvin Lewis, 16 seasons with the Bengals at one game over 500. That's not going to get it for a decade and a half. And then there's the other side of the coin, which are teams that are so desperate to reach success that they're willing to move on from guys who are, you know, successful. John Fox went 46-18, made the playoffs in four consecutive years for the Broncos and got let go. But here's the point that I want to make, and I don't know if I'm going to include the Panthers in this just yet, but I think I kind of have to. Since Super Bowl 50, Carolina either missed the playoffs or in 2017 lost to the Saints in the wild card round. But before that, Riverboat Ron had a 55% win percentage, made the playoffs four times, two divisional round trips, and a Super Bowl appearance. And he got let go. Was that the right decision by the Panthers? Let's talk numbers. I know that this is boring. And funny enough, I was talking to the big man downstairs earlier, and he said, well, how would you define your show? And I said, I don't really love numbers. I'll talk about them. They're important, but I don't love them. Well, here's numbers. I know they're boring, but stick with me. We'll come to a concrete point on the other side, I promise. These numbers come from 538.com that compiled all these coaching stats. Over the past decade, there have been 68 hires in the National Football League. There were 70 hires in the decade before that, between 32 teams. In that two-decade span, there have been 40 failed hires using the definition of a failure as coaches who either coached for less than 3 years or coached for more than 4 years but were 500 or below in win percentage. 21 of those failures came in the 2010s, but only 18 successes came out of that. NFL teams are hiring coaches that fail at a rate, and again, not fail over time. I'm talking 3 years or fewer, or lose more than they win. 18 successes to 21 failures. In that failure rate, 14 led to the hiring of another coach who either failed or is still inside of their first 3 years. 21 times. One-third of the time that you hire a bust, do you find a successful coach afterwards? Which means that the NFL is hiring and firing coaches at a rate faster than ever before. Why? And here's where we get into the fun part of the conversation. It is because winning cures everything, but sometimes the pursuit of winning quickly is the cancer that winning can't solve because you can't do it. I think that's what's happening in the NFL right now. I think there is such a rush to find the guy that teams aren't really taking their time to find the guy. You get what I'm saying? And I'm worried that might be the case with Carolina hiring Matt Rhule from Baylor and immediately making him the sixth highest paid coach in the National Football League before he even puts on the black and blue smock. By the way, Matt Rhule, if you're listening right now, and I know you are because really, who's not? Please don't wear the smock. Please ditch the smock. Did you see him wear the smock at Baylor?
Yeah, it's like one of those Mizuno like baseball vests that you use to keep your core warm.
Yeah.
Like, you're in Texas, bro.
Yeah.
Like, how warm do you need to be?
I was watching the bowl game, and they flipped to him, and they're like, the trademark smock. And I'm like, that's no, you don't want to trademark
smock.
That.
It's a sleeveless jacket.
It's not even a vest because it's got like the sleeves cut out on it and everything. It's like the top of the shoulders. It looks like one of those things you put on when you're going to get an X-ray at the dentist. They're like, here, put this on so that maybe you can still have kids when we blast you full of radiation. Don't wear the smock, Matt. Anyway, the number one reason it feels like Carolina pulled the trigger, not just on Rhule, but on such a big deal with him, was because after spending time with him, Matt Rhule was also going to go talk to the Giants. So hypothetically speaking, the Panthers rushed to snag a guy who's never been in the league so that they didn't lose a foot race to another team who wanted to hire him, even though he's never been in the league.
FOMO. It's all FOMO.
It is.
That's why these college coaches are getting massive deals. That's why, you know, first-time head coaches are getting $3 million a year because that school is afraid of missing out on that guy. So we got to throw something ridiculous at him.
I think you're right. It is FOMO. That's exactly why Carolina gave him this deal, because he was going to interview with the Giants the next week and they didn't want the Giants to beat them to the punch. So they ran with it. Historically speaking, with great exception, with rare exceptions, top-tier offensive mind and college coaches don't show up to the NFL and have immediate success. It's not how it works. And so I'm afraid that Carolina just put themselves into a quagmire with this guy just so that the Giants didn't. And the Giants turned around and they hired a guy by the name of Joe Judge, a man that team officials admitted they hired quickly because they were afraid that Mississippi State was going to hire him away from Bill Belichick first. Now, I know that both guys are a gamble. I know both guys are a gamble. I know that Matt Rhule has had success everywhere he's gone, at the college ranks. I know Joe Judge doesn't have any demonstrable success, but he has been in the league for a while and doing it under the hoodie. All of these feel, tell me if I'm wrong here, call me, 844-477-3776. All of these hires, including Carolina's of Matt Rhule, they feel like jump the gun hires. It feels to me like NFL front offices don't take the time to really go vet coaches anymore. They just go find the next guy. Oh, you got to get him in here before somebody else does. And that, to me, is the number one reason that coaches are just getting turned over. Now, every now and then you hit. You bring in a young coordinator from Dallas named Sean Payton. You turn the reins over to a 31-year-old kid named Sean McVay, and you hit.
Problem is, those mistakes are insanely expensive right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not bring a young guy in, give him three years, four years, with a relatively light deal, so that if you have to get out of it, you're not as injured. But now you have to throw these massive deals at him if you want him.
Matt Rhule, 6 years, sixth highest paid head coach in the NFL, and on a gamble, and on a gamble they gave him that deal just to make it where he wouldn't go talk to the Giants. Carolina is all in on a gamble because they were afraid that he would go talk to the Giants and, like you said, Diesel, FOMO, fear of missing out. But that is why NFL teams are turning over coaches at a rate higher than ever before in history, and the Panthers just fell into the same trap. And I'm disappointed for them. Your thoughts when we come back, 71307, start your text with ESPN. When we come back, I don't get particularly crazy about stats, but I found some stats yesterday that Zion Williamson's put up in his first three games that tell me the guy's the truth. And not the like, oh, ha, ha, Rob's being sarcastic like he was yesterday. I mean, when I saw this stat, it's the truth. And young players, you're going to want to listen to this. I'm going to help you learn to be great. It's ESPN Upstate. Yesterday, I made some ha-ha jokes about how Zion was the way, the truth, and the light to the NBA's future. Today, I tell you, as the leader of the Zion cult, I am no longer joking. Zion Williamson is the way, the truth, and the light to the future of the National Basketball Association. Welcome back. I am Rob Brown. You are listening to ESPN Upstate. My man Diesel on the other side of the proverbial and metaphorical glass, pushing the buttons, switching the switches, making the show sound as good as it does.
They call it the ones and twos.
Slicing on the ones and twos. So, Zion Williamson has played three National Basketball Association games so far and has been pretty good. Averaging 19.3 a game, shooting 66.7% from the floor, same percentage from behind the arc, by the way. Also ripping down eight boards a game, dishing out a couple of assists, and averaging a steal a game. All those numbers, good enough for me. Good enough for me. And of course, it's also important to remember here that this is on limited time. He played 18 minutes against San Antonio last Wednesday, 21 against the Nuggets on Friday, 27 against the Celtics on Sunday. That game on Sunday night, he ended with his first career double-double, 21 on 9 of 16 from the floor, 11 boards, 2 assists, and a steal. But that's not what is impressive. Here is what is impressive. During that three-game streak, Zion has missed a total of 12 shots. Of those 12, check this out. Of those 12, the Pelicans have rebounded 8. Zion has rebounded 6 for himself. That means that Zion alone at this point in his career, and I know we're 3 games and barely an hour and 20 minutes of play time in, but this seems to be how Zion's going to play the game. Zion Williamson is currently rebounding 50% of the shots that he misses on his own. The Pelicans are getting 84% of Zion Williamson's rebounds back because he follows his own shot. He gets half of the boards himself, and when he does approach the rim, you've got to put your best rebounders on him to stop him, which opens up lanes for other Pelicans to get to the rim and snag boards. So if you are playing the Rob Brown Show Home Edition, grab your pencil. Here's the numbers. Of 36 shots so far in his career, four have ended up with the ball in the hands of the defense. Four out of 36. And if you're like me and have trouble with upper level math, allow me to help you out here. That means when Zion shoots the rock, 84% of the time, the result is either points for the Pelicans or an extended possession for the Birds. 84% of the time, if Zion puts up the rock, it's either going in or the Pels are getting a defensive board or an offensive rebound. For the record, at Duke, Zion had 60% of his misses end up back in the hand of the Blue Devils. Granted, the competition, a little less stringent playing in college ball than the NBA, but that is still an incredible number. If you are in any situation, and we see this in youth ball all the time, AAU, high school, middle school ball. If you got a kid on your squad that puts up the rock and your team either scores or gets it back 84% of the time, that kid shoots every possession. That is an unbelievable number to me. If you can do anything with an 84% success rate in sports, you're a Hall of Famer. 84% of the time, this guy ends up back with the rock. That's insane to me.
Here's your chance at free money. It's the $1,000 free cash stash on ESPN Upstate. Your word for the upcoming 1 p.m. hour is wage, W-A-G-E, wage. Text that keyword to 72881. That's 72881. Good luck. It's the $1,000 free cash stash on ESPN Upstate.
When we come back, I have a question for you millennials about a disturbing trend and my first interview. Back after this on ESPN Upstate. Stick around.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.